Hey, grandkids, welcome to Stunt Granny Audio 277. This is Kevin. On the other line is Chris. How you doing, Chris?
I'm doing good, Kevin. How about yourself?
Oh, well, we were already kind of talking about it before we got started here, but Stunt Granny HQ had a backup to this very audio. I wasn't sure, considering that I was going to test out a new brewery in town, whether I would be able to record or not.
Oh, okay.
So, Jeremy and I had a little conversation during the day, and I was like, you know what, I'll just use this as backup if, you know, I don't quite make it to recording a show.
Oh, okay. Could there be some lost audio coming anytime soon with you and Jeremy?
No. There's. I might still go ahead and edit the conversation, but it honestly is just Raw was so bad that I honestly don't mind talking about it and bitching about it more, like. I think I also figured something else out that's been bugging me for a few weeks here now, because I'm watching Ring of Honor right now as we record, and I think that's part of my problem when I'm watching the WWE, is that I watch both ROH and TNA, and I realize that it can be a lot worse than the WWE. But the WWE is just pretty bad at this point.
Yeah.
And like, when you have worse examples, it kind of blurs that line a little bit sometimes.
Right.
So, yeah, right. This ROH from this week is just awful. But Raw, I'm not sure I could make it much more than awful. In my ratings book.
Yeah, it was a bad show. I don't know if surprised is the right word, but I guess I hoped for more. I hoped for a better follow up to the Survivor Series. And not only didn't I get it, I got it just back to the crapple show. Ugh.
Yeah, it started off bad with the back-to-back talking segments. And I'm just sitting there scratching my head like, okay, why are they out here in the first place? It didn't make any sense if they don't have any effect on any of the wrestlers' careers anymore. Why are they taking up time? Why did Daniel Bryan grant them that time? I mean, if he was supposed to be in charge, why didn't he interrupt them way earlier than he did?
Yeah, I'm really not sure about that one. I mean, it was advertised on the pre-show as their farewell address. I guess it was Vince who gave them the time, although he was obviously very, 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 very upset with them, so I don't know why he would do that. It went on entirely too long, and it really hurt, you know, Brian's time a lot. Although, you know, Brian is maybe not the guy who should be carrying a 15-minute talking segment on his own anyway. So then, it kind of compounded things, and all that yesing definitely seemed to, you know, kill the crowd early. Like there was just nothing. There was just nothing else they could react to after that.
Yeah, the WWE's just got to be, in some ways, just shitting a brick, just going, God damn it, we know we still have money in this guy. This injury bullshit cannot go on. Because he's been out, because Jeremy's like, he hasn't done anything for 6 months. And it's just like, it's a completely valid statement, but and it's still, he has that much of an impact on the crowd. Like, he's been gone that long.
Yeah, he's been gone a long time. Hopefully he's back soon. Hopefully this is the beginning. I mean, he obviously did the minimal you could ask of him, but he did do something physical later in the show. So hopefully he's getting better and we'll be back in the ring soon. But yeah, he injected the only energy you have better than he injected the only energy really into that show.
Yeah, and he did make the one only decent matchup in the whole evening, which was Luke Harper against Dean Ambrose.
Yeah, they had a really good match. I thought, but going that long for that finish though, I do hate it when that happens. You know, that part was really lame. The crowd really wasn't reacting to it at all, which I felt bad for them. I thought, you know, that was more on the crowd than on them on that one. But yeah, it was pretty much the only good thing on the show. Other than I guess I got a Kane. I thought Kane actually has some good comedic timing, but other than that, it was just a really crappy show.
That concession thing was just another thing that just kind of annoyed me. Like, Daniel Bryan calls him the director of food and beverages or something like that. And I'll tell you what, I knew a director of food and beverage here in town for the soccer team, the Columbus Crew. And I know it's not, you know, the largest sport, but it's still, you know, at least, well, the crowds are like 16,000 or so. So, I mean, that guy wasn't working in the concession stand.
Right. It was a good line for Brian.
It was just like, get your story straight. Just, you know, make him a concessions, you know, manager, I guess. Just right off the bat. It was just like that. That kind of stuff just kept on adding up, too. Because it was big and small problems the whole way through.
Right.
What would you say was the biggest problem, I guess, if we found the lone bright spot?
Yeah, let's see. What was the biggest problem? That's a tough one. Because it was just I don't know if there was like an overriding, you know, problem other than just, I don't know, maybe we did use, you know, it's me to just overwrite everything and overthink everything. I mean, this was a pretty easy show to book and to write, you know, coming out of Survivor Series and then all the comedy stuff and, you know, very long promo segments. And of course, well, I don't know, should we mention it now or should we wait till later the end, the big finish?
The J&J security finish?
No, the Anonymous Raw GM. The return of the Anonymous
that...
GM.
Well, I'll tell you what, I was thinking of something else is the biggest nuisance, but I'll tell you what, that really could be what I was just really annoyed with the, aw shucks, I just kind of gutted it out. Gee golly, Dolph Ziggler. I wanted to vomit. I don't know how that was a promo when he eliminated four of the five team members. One was through a count out, Rusev. But then he legitimately eliminated the other three, like, for some reason, and I don't know why it didn't get brought up at all by anyone, is that Ziggler had two false finishes on Seth Rollins. Like, he had two clean wins before Triple H got factored in, before Sting got factored in. And nobody's saying, hey, he probably had Rollins beat before this shit went down. And a guy called the show off needs to mention this. Just, he needs to.
Cena jumped in and did his promo for him. I almost think that, you know, Ziggler was, he was just a body. He was, they didn't want Cena in at the end because people would have booed. They didn't trust Ryback, so Ziggler just got that spot, but there's no real intention to make him a top guy here.
Yeah, I guess that is the, a takeaway I didn't think about, but is certainly, if that's the way they decided to write that, you could very well make that argument.
Because Ziggler barely got to make any kind of a promo. Cena immediately bigfooted him. Although I did sense that, you know, there was a bit of a look at, you know, in Ziggler's, you know, face that says that maybe he'll turn heel out of this. But I don't know if that's the right move. There's momentum as a top face. I was hopeful, and I've never been the biggest Ziggler fan myself, but I was hopeful that, you know, there was something to that. Gonna be something to that coming out of Survivor Series. Maybe there still might be. I mean, TLC is in Cleveland. It is in his hometown, so
yeah. Hopefully, well,
gonna be given a good spot there.
You know, the one thing that I had kind of forgotten about it, but they have really picked on him. Triple H has picked on him an awful lot, and that's usually a good sign if you're kind of more of the butt of the joke in the Triple H promo territory. Like, you want to be the guy that he's running down. Because, I mean, it worked wonders for Daniel Bryan. So, yeah. You know, it's just...
I don't know if it's the same thing, though.
It wasn't as long, and, you know, because they just kind of had to come up with this whole thing, but Ziggler was the first one to join the team, and the first one to start getting beat up. So, yeah. At least to me, that would say that they still do have some type of larger plan for him, but we'll see. Like, that to me was just unbelievably bad. Like, if it does lead to a turn down the way, I guess maybe it works. But I don't see a need to add another heel.
I don't see that babyface side is going to be ridiculous when both Bryan and Reigns are back. You have Cena, Ambrose, Reigns, Bryan, Ziggler, and Randy Orton. I see a quick turn back for Randy Orton. But still, even then, that's still five babyfaces.
I was thinking both Mark Henry and Big Show.
Henry spent in two nights. Henry spent a grand total of about 45 seconds in the ring, probably less. So I think they're done with him. Actually, they might be ready to put him out the pasture.
Well, they're still gonna use him. Him and Big Show get used for the same purpose. They're big guys who they can job, and just because of their sheer size, they can always sell them. So they just let them be heels who can take a billion losses.
Yeah.
To those baby faces coming up.
Right. Then your serious top heels then are and you're not including Brock, you're not including Triple H as your special attractions.
Yeah.
Seth Rollins, Bray Wyatt. Maybe Luke Harper coming up, but then, yeah, the face heel side, what I'm saying is the face heel side is definitely, it's weighted more side than you're probably were giving it credit when you're earlier.
You've talked me into a need for more heels. Rusev isn't completely there yet. I'd put him in the group. But I don't know if there's really anyone else to throw in there. You know, I know that the Miz used to be in that spot, but he is not in that spot at all right now.
Absolutely not. I could definitely see a quick turn back for Randy Orton.
And what's his name? And the other guy that I was thinking about was Bad News Barrett. But again, we're kind of talking at a level above where he's at. Mm-hmm. So Ziggler would be that level above him if he went heel.
Right. Yeah. He definitely would.
So
I mean, we'll definitely see how they mix things up over the next couple of months. If you're not thinking. You're not thinking about it in terms of, you know, Reigns and Bryan could both be back imminently in the ring, or next month or two.
Roman Reigns did say that he was going to be back within the month at the pay-per-view, so.
And I guess Daniel Bryan did say something to the effect of, I think maybe it was a Dark Seven after Raw. I think I heard that he's coming, he'll be back soon. And he did, and obviously he did get, he did the thing where he threw Rollins back in the ring, which, granted, it doesn't take a lot of, physical effort, but it was something.
I do believe that for the WrestleMania promotion, I believe he said something like he hoped to be back by the time, in time for a WrestleMania season. So, he didn't put a date on it. Any type of weakage. Right. It was vague enough that, it could be any number of things. or any number of months, really. So, yeah, it would be, I guess that is one thing that I didn't factor in is those two. I don't know why I didn't factor Reigns coming back, but I'll let myself pass on Brian since it's still at least a little way off.
Yeah, right. Very true. I don't know if I see him back. They may purposely hold him out of the Royal Rumble if he's not winning. I would almost recommend them doing that.
Oh, right.
It's just to avoid what happened last year. make it very, very clear to people. No, he will not be in the Royal Rumble. No, Philadelphia. do not camper him the whole match. And do not boo. Do not boo the winner, please.
Oh, man. Well, unless they want a winner to be booed. But that's a whole nother thing.
Right.
Okay, you brought it up before this, because I don't know if there's much more to say on the main event scene there. Because I think we kind of wrapped that up pretty decently with the with starting at Ziggler. The anonymous GM.
Yeah, I mean, even if it's just a one-week troll job, why right now would you be trolling your audience? Ugh. But they're all the months of bad TV. Why do this? Once again, even if it's only going to be a week and they got some idea that, who really is going to be the long-term, authority on Raw. But, ugh. Just the sound, just that iPhone, chime sound and everything. It deflated almost all, the positive feelings I'd had, Survivor Series, like everything just got almost just flushed down the toilet. Just the second I heard that. Ugh. Go ahead now. You please.
Well, yeah, I was just about ready to say almost the same thing, honestly. It's just like, there are times where I just think that they do cater to their internet audience too much. You know, this is just one where it's just like, because they have kept on warning, oh, things could be worse than us, things could be worse than us. And it's just like, oh my gosh, are you just doing this just to show that there are things worse than the authority? It's just like, dude, this isn't funny. It's not entertaining. We all know what you're doing here.
Yeah. Do they even read that the MGM era was like just the worst television they've ever done. It makes me wonder if they really, truly realize that.
I don't know. It just made my brain hurt. Like, the whole thing. And then, on top of it, they have the, I only asked if it was a cliffhanger because I feel like that's what they thought it was. Because Michael Cole reads about four lines, and then for some reason or another, that buzzer sound just keeps on going off. So, is that supposed to imply that Michael Cole read the wrong thing, and the GM was pissed at him?
No, I think it was just to annoy people. I think they were just truly trolling their audience.
Okay.
I think it signified anything other than just an attempt to just troll the audience.
I really don't get it. Like, people don't do that. Like, they don't. Like, the people that get a lot of viewers don't do that.
No, they don't.
Like, the WWE is, like, the only TV show that would do that to their audience, intentionally.
Yeah.
Like, people throw in inside jokes, people do, you know, plant little things in their shows for people to find.
Yeah.
But they don't troll their own audience.
And I have a feeling that next week's show is going to just be a 3-hour, you know, please Triple H and Stephanie come back episode. They are going to purposely put my fears. They're going to Monday Night wasn't bad. Monday Night was just a bad show. This is going to be their idea of what purposely tanking the show will be. That is what next Monday's Raw will be. That's my big fear. And none of my other shows are on. Everything's going into mid-season, so I have nothing else to watch.
Well,
and then catch up on this later.
And I mean, I guess that's the silly thing is that again, like, what show do you go? Oh, yeah, they just wasted that one on purpose. Like, even the South Parks that I don't think are, like, awesome, I go, oh, okay, I understand what they're going for there. Maybe not the funniest episode that I've, you know, ever seen. But, like, I kind of, you know, I enjoy it, at least.
Right. Coming up at a time where they should be thinking about getting their audience back within the next, well, six weeks. And they usually do. I mean, I know they got three shows in December. I'm pretty sure that Brock Lesnar is scheduled on. So they're going to start getting ready for the Royal Rumble. Obviously, Roman Reigns will be back by before the end of the before the end of December. So hopefully we'll have good TV. But we'll have some good TV to close out the year. And obviously they always like to start, you know, their first one or two Raws of 2015 of a new year are traditionally, you know, pretty good, really good. And the Road to the Royal Rumble, but ooh, this December 1st show, ooh, I think it could be brutal. And the week after that, it's, even though, and I'm sure the Brock's going to be on it, it's the Slammy Award comedy stuff, so.
Oh, which I guess is him. Jiminy Christmas.
Watch as Brock Lesnar accepts his OMG Moment of the Year Award for ending the streak. I'm sure Brock will put that right on his mantle. Next to his NCAA championship.
Oh, man. I don't even want to. Like, that's just... Again, I'm just not even entertained. Like, it makes me want to throw stuff.
For a television show to make you do that.
And yeah, that's the other thing. Like, I mean, I just bail on other TV shows. Like, that's all there is to it.
That is the thing with wrestling. It's filled with jump the shark moments, like, constantly throughout its history, but people, the lifers, just keep watching. It is an emotional, personal thing.
It's one of those, to me, I've said it to Jeremy, mentioned it in print, I think, and we've probably even said it on the show. Honestly, if we didn't have some type of an investment, as in this site, I honestly wouldn't watch. Like, there is no show that pisses me off to this extent. Like, there are shows that I watch, like Hawaii Five-0, that I understand are completely ridiculous. Not real, not close to real, the dialogue is not always the best, the plots are paper thin.
Right.
But you know what? I enjoy it. I don't give a fuck. Like, it's kind of funny how much fucks they don't give, really, on that show. They just kind of want to show the action and get it done, and that's that. And they're fine with it.
Yeah.
But, like, you know, they're not trying to be anything they aren't.
Right.
And the WWE just feels like they're just trying to be something they aren't sometimes. Well, not sometimes. A lot of times.
Yeah. Oh. Yeah, it's just... Oh my, yeah. I don't know what to say right now.
It's
such a bad 2 months, 3 months of TV.
Yeah, well,
I really thought that after Survivor Series we were getting over that hump, but it looks like we're not getting over that hump until at least January.
And I guess that was the other reason I kind of brought up the other shows. I don't have to watch TNA this week or for the next several weeks, which makes me a happy camper.
January 7th, they're back, though.
But that's the thing that
you should watch that.
I watched that last week, and then, like I said, I was just watching ROH. And that's how bad Raw was this week, though. Like, normally I've been separating those out, but this week, oh my god, just from top to bottom, like, I couldn't... This was another part that I couldn't believe happened. AJ Lee is better on the mic than the Bella Twins. Not gonna argue that point. But right. She gets a promo before and after her match with Brie. But for some reason, they decide not to address, or not to have Brie address the reason why she went from mopey I shouldn't be with my sister and she's a cunty bitch. To, oh, I want her to win the titles. There's one logical story that AJ beat her up twice.
Right, yeah. I mean, there's a logical story. I mean,
and then there's.
Have the announcers even made the.
They wondered why she did it. So they didn't even record a skit backstage. They didn't bring up a rumor. I don't care. Like, it doesn't need to be big things to correct these shows. That's the other thing that's so maddening.
Right.
It's just like, okay, it's right there. Just have Bree say, this is why I did this. You beat me up twice. You're just a straight up bitch. I'd rather my sister have the title.
Yeah.
You know what? Our problems are water under the bridge. Huh?
And for once, it had to be the announcers who made the connection. Hey, what Bree did to AJ is the same thing AJ did to Brian 3 years ago. Wow. That's some continuity, I guess. But Bree has not said that.
Yeah, I mean, again, like, she doesn't need to have a long promo. Just give her that 30 seconds to say that.
Yeah.
It was there for the taking.
I mean, and then there was still a look on Bree's face, you know, towards a really annoyed look on Bree's face towards Nikki on the way out of the ring at Survivor Series. I don't know if you picked up on it.
Oh.
So no. Is Bree still playing a double-double on both of them? You know, no one's talking about this. You know, the announcers, not anybody. No one's bringing anything up. We're just assume they're back together, but maybe they're not. You know, and you know, supposedly, I guess in the 30 days that you know, I don't know why I clicked up my hand like that. Never mind. you know, in the 30 days is technically up today. So, I mean, does Bree now have bigger plans for Nikki to go after the belt herself? So, I mean, I guess if that comes up on Monday, I can forgive it a little bit if it turns out that it was a reason, you know, playing both of them.
Yeah, if she comes out and says, oh, I think I can beat my sister easier than I can beat you, that would be kind of funny. And I would laugh. Right. Although that really makes her a heel, though. Which, again is like...
All of these are unlikable.
Huh?
All of these women are unlikable. There's not a likable diva in the entire roster.
Yeah, and that's a problem. Like, I mean, it really is a problem. AJ has faced off against people that are also unlikable.
And AJ doesn't do herself a lot of favors either.
No.
Or writing doesn't. So it's like, there is not a likable diva that they push. Maybe you could say, like, Naomi's never done anything to anybody, okay, fine, but they're not pushing her right now. All of the heavily pushed divas are just horrible, unlikable people. Including my favorite target, Natty. Ugh.
Oh my gosh. Well, she was another one this week that just infuriated me. I don't give a crap if you're friends with the bunny outside the ring. If you signed a contract to fight the bunny, that's your own damn fault and you need to fight the damn bunny. Tyson Kidd had every reason to tag back in because Natalya was being a pain in the ass. She should have been kicking that bunny's ass.
I don't even know what her character is at this point. If I'm supposed to feel like Tyson Kidd is this not physically, but verbally, emotionally abusive, bad husband. I'm not feeling it. I feel sorry for him.
Oh, yeah, and that's the way they kind of play it on the announcing, but what ends up happening in the ring and on the show, on Total Divas, like, it's not working that way. Like, it's the opposite of what's happening on the show. Well, actually, Tyson Kidd is completely tone deaf. But,
He's tone deaf, but he's tone deaf, but he's not smug and condescending like she is.
Right.
The person being tone deaf is kind of, one of those things, kind of not their fault. Whereas she's choosing to act this way.
Yeah, she is actively dislikable. He is just passively dislikable.
That's a good way of saying it, yeah.
Oh, man. So, yeah, that's another one that it just... I understand that you need to fill time with other, you know, skits. Like, everything can't be, like, you know, a top project, but it's still got to make some damn sense.
Right, I agree completely. Don't like this Adam Rose Bunny relationship. I don't even know what this is. This is someone on the creative team's weird creepy dreams come to life or something. I don't even want to know something.
Well,
talk to your psychiatrist. My TV.
And that was another one that they aborted the storyline with Slater Gator. For a reason that I don't really understand to this point. Unless they didn't have a reveal that they didn't want to do. Which, I don't know why you'd think, oh, we have too much comedy gold in having a rabbit. Although they think that they have comedy gold, I think, half the time, just because of how often they make the stupid rabbit jokes and how pissed off JBL is with the rabbit.
I think it's actually, it's not the bunny is actually funny on the you know, JBL YouTube show, but that's in a different context. The context of these things doesn't work on the main show.
Oh, well, I did not... Hold on, the bunny is supposed to be funny? On the JBL and Cole show?
Well, it's this whole thing where JBL wants to trap and capture and kill the bunny, I think. I haven't watched, but I've heard it's actually funny.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I don't watch that garbage. I don't need to listen to those two idiots any more than I have to already. Because they are just... Oh, and you know what? How have I not done that already? We've threatened this, I swear, and we haven't gone into it. They are part of the problem.
Oh, the announcing has been a part of the problem for years.
I mean...
Big problem.
And that's the other part about the whole authority gimmick. It's just like, oh my god, are we getting heel Michael Cole again? Like, am I seriously gonna have to tolerate this nonsense? Because at that point, I will honestly think about shutting Raw off and just going, you know what, WWE, you won. You know what, you tapped me out.
Yeah, the last thing Michael Cole needs, Daniel Kuster said, it's like, the last thing Cole needs to do is go any further backwards. Ugh. Sorry, I keep doing that, but this show does not need this. Wrestling television this week, if you take out the last hour of Survivor Series, just across the board, with the exception of my new favorite show, Lucha Underground, just terrible.
Yeah, it's been a giant dumpster fire this week. Because, and that's the other part that, it really was just that final match, in Survivor Series, and, you know, I enjoyed Sting showing up. I still have very limited expectations, for whatever he's involved in.
Really?
I'll just be interested to see what he can do in the ring, I suppose.
Right.
It's just because, and people did, I saw some people making a good point that he was overused in TNA.
He was overused, he was, there were so many times where he just was not good, and, you know, there were moments that, you know, he went for the swerve and death drop someone, and he dropped them before he went down. Or he had someone on the scorpion, and he lost his balance while holding onto the scorpion and basically fell over. You know, some bad moments, but he hasn't been in the ring in over a year. I don't believe he's got anything else to do in his life for the next 4 months, but train and prepare himself for one match with Triple H, who, like him or not, probably the best guy to carry anyone to just a good formula matches as they can have.
Oh yeah, I would never argue that against Triple H. There are some other things that you can argue about his character, but wrestling wise. He was always good, but not spectacular. I think the cerebral assassin thing kind of fit a good mold. He was more kind of a Bret Hart-like good.
Oh, don't let Bret hear you say that.
Well, that's fine. He's not going to hear me say it. And if he notices, I will take all the heat that I possibly can before finally caving.
Brett, if you're listening, that's at StumpGranny and at DeFrango11, okay? Give us that rub. Get about 500,000 followers. Give us the rub.
Yep, we'll take the rub. But I mean, you know what I mean. Like, Bret Hart didn't have flashy offense. Like, he put it together well.
Right.
He changed things up. He knew how to wrestle. But it, you know, didn't have a lot of flash to it.
Yeah, exactly. Triple H is very much the same unless he's facing someone who's better than him. And then he can absolutely rise to, you know, a spectacular match.
Oh, yeah. Because those guys can swing up, or he could definitely, you know, he was always consistent enough that he'd never, like, just completely fuck up a match. That was kind of the other thing to me with Triple H, is that I don't remember him having too many bomb matches. And there are some ones that weren't good, but I don't think he was ever consistently bad.
No, never that consistently bad. No. But yeah, so yeah, I'm not that worried about staying in the ring. I mean, you know, if it's his one match at WrestleMania, it's against Triple H. First and foremost, as long as he isn't a stumbling, you know, old man who loses his breath, you know, 5 minutes in, you know, people are going to give him a pretty good pass. And it's going to be epic just seeing Sting in having a match at WrestleMania in a WWE room.
Right.
And Triple H will, you know, hold together, you know, carry the match, you know, lead him through it. And I have no fears of it not being good to very good. probably not great, but it wouldn't totally surprise me if they could steal the show. If you know, if Oof. The old Sting shows up for one night.
Yeah, I guess I'm not gonna go steal the show far, but it could definitely be a good to very good match. Is there anything else in there? I'm trying to remember any other bad happenings here, or anything else that applied to our last Sting topic there.
We can move on to the next topic.
Yeah, well, I'm just trying to figure out what it. Oh. Holy Christ on a pony! Yeah, I can't. I'm looking through the Raw, and there really isn't much to address. Like, I don't even blame the guest hosts anymore.
No. I'll give Larry credit. While he was doing commentary, he knew when to lay out because he didn't really know exactly what to say. So I give him, he's one up on Florida Georgia Line there, who just wouldn't shut up talking about themselves during that match on the Night of Champions.
Yeah, well, I think Larry's done enough radio to understand when not to talk.
Yeah, he definitely did. You know, the first segment on the ramp with the shirt off was ungodly lame. The thing with Kane was it was pretty funny. Kane's got good comedic timing. Obviously, Larry, it's his living, so that one skit was fine. So once again, the guest stars have not, these last few weeks have not been a problem. Not since the Kathy Lee Hoda incident.
Yeah, but I mean, it's another one to me that I don't understand why they don't get something that's a little more in line with their audience, which I just feel like that would help more than anything. And it just doesn't seem like they have anything that resonates, or any of the hosts that resonate with the audience.
Right, yeah, they're chasing after. They do these things that chases after an audience that's never going to watch their show. That's pretty much it. It's that thing with Vince, always craving that mainstream acceptance that's never going to happen.
Well, it's just kind of at the level that it's at this point.
Right.
You know, I don't see them growing it all that well, and then that kind of goes back to everything that we were saying this whole episode, really. If right. they really I mean, do,
and Larry did have a reason for being there because he is in a movie that they're co-producing, and you know, one of their guys is in it, so I give that a pass.
Oh yeah, like I said, that he was better than Grumpy Cat and made more sense, at least. But in general, like, I whatever. Oh, shit. Where was I? Oh, I think that they'd get the attention that they want if they just did some of this basic stuff to just have their stories make sense.
Yeah, the quality control is just awful. They've just stopped caring about it, and these things that this would not. John Cena is a dick. You know, he is a dick. His team gets beaten up time after time after time. Big Show is completely justified to do what he did, although that's not the reason they gave, because they don't have an answer. If Big Show came out and said, I turned on John Cena because John Cena didn't come out and save me last week from Rusev last week, John Cena has no defense for that at all. So they're just ignoring that part completely. And then they go and have John Cena be a dick to Dolph Ziggler. And take over his Make His Moment from him.
Yeah, and I know that I didn't listen to We Watch stuff, but I know that Jeremy and Shahid addressed it at least from when we were talking. And the selective memory with the history is just another thing that is completely maddening with them, is that some stuff gets remembered, some stuff doesn't. I mean, that's what John Cena did make fun of Ryback when Ryback was complaining about Cena not helping him out with the was it the Shield?
Yeah, the Shield attacked Ryback. I think it was 6 times, and John Cena never
saved him.
Six times. Yeah.
So Cena even tried to turn, but Cena used that and just kind of made Ryback sound like a crybaby with it. Like, and yeah. I guess that leads to both of your points. One, that John Cena's a dick.
Yeah. Who would possibly like John Cena?
Yeah, I honestly...
Like, in a real-world standpoint, if this person really exists, who was always asking for other people for help, but then when those other people were in need, he wasn't there for them. Who could possibly like this person in their lives? And I think people do look at things through that scope of, you know, when they watch entertainment is, would I like this person in real life? No, and that's when I think that's another part when people start tuning out of TV shows that you know that were once good, but now it's like I don't like this show anymore. I don't like this guy. I don't want to root for him anymore.
Yeah, I've certainly done that with enough shows, and yeah, Cena, I guess I didn't have that much of a problem with him for a long time, like. I certainly wasn't on the Cena hate bandwagon all that early.
Right, no.
But, this whole, because he's been there, like, because you kind of mentioned the Bigfooting, but he's kind of been there for, like, all of the new guys coming up. And, like, it's one of those things that I get it and I don't get it all at the same time. Like, he's supposed to be giving them the rub and talking them up. But it really doesn't do that at all.
No.
You know,
it really doesn't. There's something about him. There's something... I didn't
help Punk.
He was really praising. He was that appreciative of what, you know, Dolph Ziggler did for him.
Oh.
I just didn't believe, but there's something in his delivery, especially lately. There's just something. It's really hitting me that like his character is really disingenuous, and he's whiny, he's needy, but then he's not there for the people who are there for him.
Yeah, and then he turns on them when they act like he should have shown up and pretends like they're a big baby. which is mind-bending in and of itself. Yeah, I don't know. Evidently, there are a lot of kids that are... in some bad spots that really like him. But other than saying never give up, I don't completely I don't understand what the appeal is.
At this point, I agree.
You know, I just don't. And I don't think, yeah, like I said, I don't think that helps Ziggler. I don't think that helps anyone.
No, it doesn't. doesn't help anybody. It doesn't help, and then it helped John Cena. It helps no one. It is like an anchor tied to this, to the whole company.
Oh man, we have been all over the place.
Yeah, we have been all over the place here, and there's still probably some stones we haven't overturned yet.
Oh well, you know what? That was the other thing. Oh, you were talking about him being unlikable, and that was one other thing that I wanted to address. I know I addressed it in an almost live, definitely half-assed review of Raw. I just feel like with the authority GM gimmick, with the way Triple H was acting towards Vince, and the fact they specifically made a stipulation that the authority can come back into power through John Cena, it just really makes me feel like, for some reason, I got this odd feeling that they are definitely coming back. And it, honestly, like, John Cena, how do you not view him as a heel unless something crazy happens? Like, they say how wrong they were and how they acted and, you know, like, I mean, you'd have to make them, like, sign a contract not to be dicks or something like that.
Right.
If yeah, you're John Cena, to allow them back in. Like, I mean, that's just... And maybe that's just too much speculation.
I didn't think it was going to happen anytime. When Vince said that, when it was in the contract, you know that, eventually that's the out to bring back. When we said it, I didn't think it was going to be anytime soon. But, well, two things. One, when Vince did his speech to them about you're gonna take it back. You're gonna take it back. And then the GM chime. Although the GM chime, and then the GM chime is like, they're gonna tank. Part of me is like, they're gonna tank this show on purpose so that people beg for Triple H and Stephanie to come back. Or it turns out that Stephanie, now this could might be a little creative, that Triple H and Stephanie are the unanimous GM. And then it's revealed, and then they're truly gone. Something.
You just made my brain break. If they're the anonymous GM, I'll just, I don't even know. I don't... And I've done that more this show than I have in a long time. Like, again, it's just maddening on every level. Like, there just wasn't anything all that likable about this show.
No, it was just a bad show. It was just terrible. And the fact that it was coming off the heels of something that, you could think that maybe this is the beginning of some kind of a turnaround, and then to just be immediately kicked in the groin.
It made all the bad shows.
It was in that respect, it was worse than all the bad shows they did in a row, because you got in the terms of a wrestling match, Survivor Series was the big hope spot. It was. And then the heel kicked the babyface right in the nuts 24 hours later. Or 24 seconds later. We're talking about the man. Whatever.
Yeah, I think you said it better earlier when you were talking about how that they do usually seem to start turning the corner. Like, you can kind of see what picture they're starting to paint in December for January, and they like you said, they kicked us right in the nuts instead.
Yeah.
Like, instead of seeing that picture kind of is like just a sketch, you just saw ink blots right after the groin shot.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, cause other than Triple H and Sting, I really don't see what the long term WrestleMania direction is for just about anyone else. You know, maybe Roman Reigns getting the push to the moon. But they've got to resolve the situation with, you know, Brock Lesnar and his contract situation. That could be a real that could be some trouble for him. People know Brock Lesnar is leaving at WrestleMania. You got that entire arena. Well, he'd be the heel, so maybe it wouldn't be that bad of a deal, but you never want to go into you know, a big event with people knowing what's going to happen. this is his last, and he's gonna drop the title.
Yeah, well, I mean, I guess that's why you build him up too to that point. So. Yeah. There is a little bit of giving.
They sure picked the right guy to end the streak. He's going to be gone a year later. Yay! He's going to go back to UFC, and he's going to use that again. Use his WWE fame again to make more money for someone else.
Yep, and they'll be more than happy to have him back after he's done in the UFC again.
Yeah, except this time he'll be in his 40s by the time that all rolls around, so he would not be going back to the UFC a third time.
Yeah, he would definitely be in the WWE at that point. So, yeah, speaking of being done,
we're off the books there.
I think we are done now.
I think we covered a lot of ground there.
I already had my sippy time beer down at Land Grant Brewing, which the review will be up as soon as I can, since I actually invested money in this company. So,
really?
Yes.
Whoa. You are actually the part owner of a beer now?
No. Oh, no, man. I was just part of a Kickstarter campaign.
For what? Oh, Kickstarter campaign?
Yeah, I was just part of a Kickstarter campaign. No, they are not all, false pleas for money. Some of them do actually come about, and some of them do have some beer benefits. So...
Gotcha.
So I will take alcoholic benefits. That's just fine. That's where I was right before starting the show, and I was not too juiced up. It was not too heavy in the ABV department. So the show ran smoothly, and I'm out of here.
All right.